We're taking our study here from Psalm 83 on Wednesday night. Psalm 83, and invite you to turn over there and take a look. In this psalm, we have Brother Asaph. He's declaring to the Lord the desire, the threat, and the desire of the enemies of Israel. And so we've been going down through this list that is here. We see in verse number 4 what the threat is of these enemies. Brother Asaph has declared unto the Lord and appealed unto the Lord to not hold his peace and to not be still, but to work and fight against the enemies of Israel. Their threat is found in verse number 4. They say, "Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." And here lately, we've been taking a look at just some documentaries and such about Israel and the different battles and wars that Israel has fought since the time that she became amazing. And I tell you what, it's an amazing subject. Do you realize that those in the military, as I'm told and understand, those that are in the military that study warfare do not study the battles of Israel because they are just too far incredible. And so they don't study them, they say, from the standpoint of gaining from them, because it's just so impossible what they have done with what they've had from 1948 on. Well, we know why. Because of the Lord. And this has been the desire of all those nations that have come against Israel in all those wars in 48 and 67 and 73 and so on. That's their continual desire now. Here we see the listing that's the brother mentions here in verse 6, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarines, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher is also joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. Their desire is found in verse number 12, who said, "Let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession." Those that were displaced by Israel getting her land back, and that the deed that Israel has to her land is here in the Scripture, is in the Bible, given by God Almighty. That's what they want to do. They want to take over. They're not going to be satisfied till Israel is gone and not a nation. And Brother Asaph says that they say, "Let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession." We want what God has declared is theirs and not ours. They fight against the Lord. Brother Asaph, he declares here the purpose of God in verse number 17 and 18. "Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish," is his plea, "that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." And so the purpose of God will be that men will know. We find that with Brother Ezekiel as we look through the book that he wrote some months ago, how it is so many times it's written there as the, what the Lord had said, that the men may know that I'm God and that I'm God alone, that He is God indeed. We've come down here at this time to the inhabitants of Tyre, and what an expansive consideration in the Scriptures. We looked last time about Brother David's day, even to the day of Joshua, when Brother Joshua was dividing the land of Canaan into the children of Israel. And from then, some 400 plus years, 500 years later, in David's day, Tyre is there. Matter of fact, Brother David had a friend there in the king of Tyre, Hiram. And that extended down to Brother Solomon's day. And so we turn to 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5, and we'll go and take a look here about how this of Tyre was connected to Israel in Brother Solomon's day. I read quite a bit to you on Sunday afternoon about Brother Solomon and taking a look at other aspects of his life. And so it's interesting that we've got such a great dose of Solomon here in this time, and the Lord has given us the accounts of these brethren and his nation to even help us here in our day. And the great message, the overarching message of this series is don't be the enemy of God. Don't be the enemy of God. Don't be found to be the enemy of God at all, because being the enemy of God will not prosper whatsoever. James, would you mind putting that down, son? Because everybody's hearing that. Okay? Thank you. In verse number 1 of 1 Kings chapter 5, "And Hiram king of Tyre sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David." And so Hiram had a great appreciation of David, and I would imagine from the standpoint of David being such a successful warring fellow and man. The thing is if Hiram knew about the division of the land, he knew that his city was given to Asher. And Tyre and Sidon were cities that should have been inhabited by the Israelites. And so I wonder about that. I wonder about Hiram's motive here and you know what his thinking is, but he appreciates and is a lover of David. They evidently had a great relationship. David got much material from Hiram for the building of the temple. We see here Solomon is now king, and so he sends to Hiram saying, verse number 2, "And Solomon sent to Hiram saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house under the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. Verse 4, But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Verse 6, Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint, for thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians." So we see a reference here about the connection with Sidon and Tyre. They're many times in the scriptures mentioned together, and they are the realm, we understand, of the Sidonians, sometimes with an S, sometimes with a Z. And so Solomon makes a declaration, you guys, there's nobody can hew timber like you guys. And so do that for us. And he will pay him. And it came to pass when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly and said, Blessed be the Lord this day. Isn't that interesting? Which hath given unto David a wise son over his great people. And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the things which thou sentest to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon unto the sea, and I will convey them by sea in floats unto the place that thou shalt appoint me, and will cause them to be discharged there, and thou shalt receive them, and thou shalt accomplish my desire in giving food for my household. Why? Because Tyre is locked in. Tyre is there on the coast at this time. There is an island that is off of where Tyre, the city, is at this time, we understand historically, and that is used for a stronghold, but the city itself is there on the land, and they are more in the beginning Phoenician, and they have some land there around them, but even from the pressure of Israel going and occupying the land, the real estate that they have is very, very narrow. And so he says, sure, we'll trade food for that. And maybe it is with the ground and such that they're not able to grow like they are down in Israel. And so verse number 10, so Hiram gave Solomon cedar trees and fir trees according to all his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household and 20 measures of pure oil. Thus gave Solomon to Hiram year by year. And so you notice there, as we read earlier, how they conveyed him down on the Mediterranean. They brought him down on floats. That's an indication of something that Tyre has. Tyre may not have, and Sidon may not have a lot of land that she controls, But they do have shipping. And they know their way on the water. And that is part of what has made Tyre such a long-lasting city. Understand at this point, we're at the point that we've known about Tyre, the great city, the strong city, from the days of Joshua, through the judges, through Saul, unto David. 500 plus years, Tyre has been there. Now, it's not always been occupied and run by the same people. Pretty much up to this time it has been, from what we understand, give or take. There will be more of that Tyre being dealt with and captured as time goes on from here. But Solomon commits to all this food year by year for the wood that is being supplied. Verse 12, and the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and they two made a league together. Was that supposed to be? Wasn't supposed to be, was it? Wasn't supposed to be. But they did. And King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel, and the levy was 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon, and 2 months at home. And Adoniram was over the levy. And Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens, and 40,000 hewers in the mountains, because the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, beside the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300, which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. And the king commanded that they brought great stones, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and those and the stone quarters, quarers, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house. Today, there in Israel, we understand, and I can't remember the exact figure, but there's one stone there that is exposed in the tunnels at the Temple Mount, and the archaeological digs that they have undertaken under the Temple Mount and in that area. And one of those stones that is there that has been exposed, it's from the days of Herod, which this time is way before that. But that stone there is like 30 feet long. I think they estimate it. The tonnage of that stone is incredible. And how they were able to get it in place. That's in Herod's day, which is in the Lord Jesus' day. But Solomon was more wise than Herod. And no telling how great these stones were, and the ability that they had to convey them about. We take a look over here at chapter 7 of Kings, 1 Kings, and we see something here that is interesting. And it's something that's at hand in the Scriptures, and we can learn from it. In 1 Kings chapter 7, verse number 1, but Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. He built also the house of the forest of Lebanon. The length thereof was 100 cubits, and so it gives the size of that. And it tells about the porch in verse 6. And verse number 13, and King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre. He was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all works in brass. And he came to King Solomon and wrought all his work. Now, this isn't the king. This is another man that just happens to be the same name, okay? And understand here that he's partly Jew. His father is a man of Tyre, a man that had lived there, and we don't understand here of what his descendancy is, but his mother is of the tribe of Naphtali, okay? And so he has got the blessing of being able to work things with all kinds of stuff. And so it tells here about what he made. And understand, this is the casting of brass. I mean, brass melts at a lower temperature than steel and iron does, but the thing is, to make such great works as he did, he had to have great understanding. Why would he be at Tyre? Because at Tyre, there's no expense spared in anything. People from all over the world are wanting different things. And no doubt this man worked in this to make things the world over. I would guess. He's a smith, and he's a cunning workman. And he gets Solomon knows about him, learns about him. We'll see more about that here in a moment. And he sends for him to come and help to do this work in the temple. It tells here down through this chapter the different kind of things that he made. And if we investigate this, we're going to find that some of these works are very, very large. And how he was able to make them of molten brass and other metals that were used is incredible. It's said to be incredible in this day. But he had the gift to be able to do this, and it explains about all the work that he did. And no doubt he had a fleet of men at his charge to accomplish all the things that he did. We come to verse number 40. And Hiram made the lavers and the shovels and the basins. So Hiram made an end of doing all the work that he made King Solomon for the house of the Lord, the two pillars and the two bowls of the chapiters that were on the top of the two pillars and the two networks to cover the two bowls of the chapiters, which were upon the top of the pillars, and so on. And so he is a very cunning fellow. Let's read on verse 43. And the 10 bases, 10 lavers of the bases, 1 sea, and the 12 oxen under the sea, and the pots, and the shovels, and the basins, and all the vessels which Hiram made to King Solomon for the house of the Lord were of bright brass. So that was his main work, and no doubt he did other things too. We get some clarity about this man over in 2 Chronicles chapter 2. And so let's read over here about him. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Clarity regarding this man Hiram. That's mentioned here as we read in 1 Kings 7. In chapter 2 of 2 Chronicles, the scripture reads in verse number 1, "And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountain, and 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram," same man, same king, the king of Tyre, it's different spelling because of the time of the writing and the vantage point of the writer, the scribe at that time, whoever would be. But they're the same king, saying, "As thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedars to build him an house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to get it dedicated to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, for the continual showbread and the burnt offerings, morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. Who is able to build him an house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him an house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? Send me now therefore a man, cunning to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in iron and purple and in crimson and blue, and that can skill and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide. Send me also cedar trees, fir trees, and algum trees out of Lebanon, for I know that thy servants can skill to cut timber in Lebanon, and behold, my servants shall be with thy servants, even to prepare me timber in abundance, for the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful great." Verse 10, "And behold, I will give to thy servants, the hewers that cut timber, 20,000 measures of beaten wheat, and 20,000 measures of barley, and 20,000 measures baths of wine, and 20,000 baths of oil." Then Huram, king of Tyre, answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, "Because the Lord hath loved his people and hath made thee king over them." Isn't that interesting that his opinion is that? "Huram said, moreover, blessed be the Lord God of Israel that made heaven and earth." You wonder if David was a witness to him of the great God of heaven? Wasn't supposed to have a league with him. Wasn't supposed to have a friendship with him. But you wonder if David didn't witness to this man. And so he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, verse 12, that made heaven and earth, who hath given to David a wise king, a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that might build a house for the Lord and a house for his kingdom. And now I have sent a cunning man, endued with understanding of Huram, my father's, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan. Oh, wait a minute, I thought it was Naphtali. Don't get upset. Don't get upset. One thing that the Lord has done in the scriptures is understanding at the time may not have been the understanding in the end. And so the Lord has not, some would call those errors, some would call those just the understanding of the time of the writer or whatever. We can find discrepancies like this in regards to the numbering of different people in different books for the sake of the number of certain that went to do a thing or that were accounted of that. Don't let that bother you. Because I tell you what, there's plenty in the scripture that is steadfast and true and right that we know, that anybody is honest knows and understands that God Almighty is true and right. And so don't let the difference in the scriptures of a tribe trip you up to deny the Word of God. Okay? Remember, our Lord spoke in parables that some hearing would not understand, and some seeing would not see. Also, the Lord He's inspired the scriptures, and we have it as He's given it unto us. And this is a translation from the scripture, from the word that the Lord gave in that day, and we indeed through this have the Word of God. But there are things like this in the scripture that can be found, and some take and pick apart and say, well, okay, it doesn't line up, it doesn't match. It's not that it doesn't line up or it doesn't match, it's just you and I just don't know the ins and the outs of it. Because our Lord is true and right, and when we don't need to have any doubt about what He has given us. And so here it accounts this man to be a son of the daughters of Dan, and his father a man of Tyre, which we know. Skillful to work in gold and in silver, Huram is writing to Solomon. Hey, this is your man in silver and brass and iron and stone and timber. So we see the expanse of his ability that is just not in brass. These great works that we read over in 1 Kings were of that bright brass that was mentioned, but he was able to work in many, many other facets and aspects too. In stone and timber and purple and blue and fine linen and crimson, also to grave any manner of graving and to find out every device which shall be put to him with thy cunning men and with the cunning men of my Lord David thy father. Interesting that he says it that way. Now therefore the wheat and the barley and the oil and the wine, which my Lord hath spoken of, let him send unto his servants, and we will cut wood out of Lebanon as much as thou shalt need, and we will bring it to thee by floats by the sea to Joppa. So we have the indication of the place that they'll bring it to, and thou shalt carry it up to Jerusalem. So Solomon numbered all the strangers that were in the land of Israel after the numbering wherewith David his father had numbered them, and they were found 150,000 and 3,600. And he set 70,000 of them to be bearers of burdens, and 70,000 to be hewers in the mountain, and 3,600 overseers to set the people a work. So we have clarity here about this man Hiram or Huram, named after the king of Tyre. He has the same name. We don't know if he was named after him or not. But he has the same name as him. And as Solomon has inquired with Hiram, Hiram's written back and said, this is your man. He'll be able to help you in everything that you want to do. And along with the men that you have there in Israel, he's going to be able to work with them to do what you want and what you're after. Do you realize that this skilled man, this tradesman, you realize that he is taken by some to be a pattern and an icon for their religion? You realize that? Isn't that something? Here in the Scripture, we have this about this man, and it's told us that we might know the connection and hear, and we see David and Solomon having to do with the king of Tyre, and shouldn't be doing that according to what the Lord commanded. Both of them had made a continued league. David had made a league and had a friendship with him, evidently maybe a witness to him, which was good. And Solomon continues to do so and makes this agreement. This man is taken by some to be a pattern and an icon for their religion. And he was faithful in what he did, but Hiram is no substitute for our Lord Jesus Christ, is he? Not at all. He's no substitute for our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is, and I would be interested in hearing from you what you think that it is. You can tell me after services or otherwise, or let you chew on that for a while about what religion it is. I will read this for you here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it causes me to think of this passage when touching upon this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 13, the Scripture says this, "I give thee charge in the sight of God," Paul writing to Brother Timothy, "who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in time past, which in his time shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality." Let's say only. He's the only one that's immortal, isn't he? "Dwelling in the light which no man can approach into. When the brilliance of the Lord shines in its fullness, no man can approach into it." Remember how we read Sunday, how when Solomon dedicated the temple, that the Shekinah glory of the Lord filled the temple and the priests couldn't get up there close to be able to do anything for the power and the glory, the displacement of him. They couldn't do it. It says here, "whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." And so, interesting how it is with this Hiram. Now we come to 1 Kings 9, 1 Kings chapter 9. And we see more about these two, Solomon and the king of Tyre, Hiram, king of Tyre. We read here in chapter 9, and verse number 1, 1 Kings 9, verse number 1. "And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me, and have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou shalt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel." Just an interesting side point here. We know the promises of the Lord Jesus. How are they always referenced when they're referenced to a king? Always reference to David, aren't they? Because David had his faults and David had his sins, but David always worshiped the Lord. And Solomon had that before him. But you know what? He went away from worshiping the Lord, as we saw this past Sunday. Just an interesting point there. The Lord made him the same. Gave him the same directive and said, I'll establish, though not fail thee, a man upon the throne of Israel. But Solomon went away. He allowed those many, many wives that he had to turn his heart away and followed after those wicked gods. And it goes on to say here, and so he talks about cutting off Israel. If he goes away, and they'll be astonished, and how it is that way over the Temple Mount. Since A.D., you know, since the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, that building of that temple, so glorious and so wonderful, is now a historical memory. And the Jews, they don't worship at the temple; they worship at a remnant of a wall that is there. A little piece of a wall, a little 100-foot, 120-foot section of a wall that's at the base of where the temple used to be. As it says there, verse 8, "And at this house which is high, everyone that passes by shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house?" And they went against the Lord. We come on down here regarding Hiram, and we see in verse number 10, "And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, and the house of the Lord, and the king's house. Now Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold, according to all his desire, that then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee." So that's part of his payment. What are you supposed to do with the possession of the Lord if you're an Israelite? Keep it. Not supposed to trade it. And certainly not supposed to give it to the Gentiles. "And Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not." Mm-hmm. This man, can this man be pleased by anything that is not Tyre? I mean, think about it. Tyre and its grandeur, its glory, its greatness. Can he be pleased by anything that is not Tyre? Can he be pleased by cities in Galilee? No way. "And he said, what cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother? And he called them the land of Kabul unto this day." And if my memory serves me right, this Kabul is talking about just kind of partial and maybe kind of dirty and just not prosperous, not healthy. "And Hiram sent to the king 70 talents of gold." And this is the reason for the levy which King Solomon raised for to build the house of the Lord and his own house in Milo and the wall of Jerusalem and Hazor and so. And it tells here about some history and the building of these cities, the king of Egypt having come and struck them and different cities of store and such. And tells here too that this. Let's read this, and verse number 20. "And all the people that were left of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, which were not of the children of Israel, their children that were left of them in the land, whom the children of Israel also were not able to utterly destroy, those did Solomon levy a tribute and bond service unto this day at the time of the reading of this or the writing of this First Kings. But the children of Israel did Of the children of Israel did Solomon make no bondmen, but they were men of war and his servants and his princes and his captains, rulers and chariots and horsemen and so on. These were the chief of the officers that were over Solomon's work, 550, which bear rule over the people that wrought in the work." So these inhabitants of Canaan and their children that continued on, which the Lord said that they would be goads in their sides and pricks in their eyes, they were still there. He put them to task and to rigor and to work. Verse number 24. "But Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David into her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then did he build Milo. And 3 times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto the Lord. And he burnt incense upon the altar that was before the Lord, so he finished the house. And King Solomon made a navy of ships and Ezon-Geber, which is beside Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent in the navy, his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon. And they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold, 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon. Seeing all this, it started out that Solomon didn't have any navy, it seems. That's the reason that Hiram had the bringing down of the timbers and such on the floats. But in this confederacy that they had, in time, Solomon wanted to build a navy. He wanted to have a navy. And it seems that he did so down here on the Red Sea. And we see here in the land of Edom, and it could be that some of these Edomites or some of those that were down there, either of Ammon or Moab or Edom, there's a place in the scripture that tells about that, that those men were shipbuilders. And we'll see that going forward about Tyre and all the people that would come to her. And so in this confederacy, it seems indeed that Brother Solomon, with Hiram's help, built a navy for himself. And they went a long way to get gold. We see in chapter 10 quickly, verse number 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And so we see Hiram's navy at work there. Also in verse number 22, for the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom. And so we see here about Solomon's involvement with Hiram, the king of Tyre, and all that they did, and even prospering and to the point of having his own navy. What do you think about Hiram and those cities? Was that the beginning of the displeasure of Tyre with Israel? Hiram was a lover of David, indeed, and for David's sake, it seems that he had to do with Solomon, and he seemed to enjoy the business that he did with Solomon and that confederacy that they have. But we read over there in Psalm 83 that the inhabitants of Tyre are an enemy of Israel. Israel's a threat. Israel is one that they're against. And we're going to see going forward that even in the minor prophets, so much mention about this city-state of Tyre and the judgment of the Lord upon them. It comes to the time that Tyre turns against Israel, even to the taking captive of the Israelites and selling them to lands far, far away. And it's a promise fulfilled of our Lord in judging and punishing and chastising the disobedience of his nation. So next time we'll take a look here about the minor prophets and see what they have to say about this city.